Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome to Sports Day. Big show ahead for you tonight. And we've got Hayden Hopewell, who won the WA Golf Open down at Royal Fremantle. Garth Tander, who won the Bathurst 1000 yesterday, will join us in the program. But the news headlines for car sales. Number one for cars, Jeremy Cameron, the big news. He wants out of GWS and he wants to go to Geelong. He's a restricted free agent. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Lachie Neal, of course, winning the Brownlow medal. In fact, I reckon the umpires got it right. Travis Boak, Christian Petrarca finishing in the top three. Our West Coast Fever falling agonisingly short in the Super Netball Grand Final against the Melbourne Vixens, 66-64, and there's plenty of other news. But Adam Papalia joins me tonight on Sports Day, and perhaps tonight is the West Coast Eagles' fairest and best. Welcome to you, mate. Who wins and why?
G'day, Carl. I think probably Brad Shepherd for me or Nick Natanui. They're the two, and I've been throwing up between the two of those, trying to figure out which one's going to finish ahead. I think Brad Shepherd, maybe just for his consistency, might actually get it done tonight. I was surprised you mentioned off the top that you thought the umpires got it right in terms of the Brownlow medal. I didn't think they got it right when it came to Nick Natanui. I thought he probably could have got a few more votes in the Brownlow. They tend to always go for the midfielders, with Tim Kelly and Dom Sheed topping the charts for West Coast in terms of Brownlow votes. But fairest and best are completely different beasts, and I think it'll come down to consistency. So that's maybe why Brad Shepherd might just finish ahead.
Yeah, I'm not so sure Brad Shepherd will win tonight, because I've looked at the coaches' votes throughout the season. From a coaching perspective, I'm pretty sure Nick Natanui is going to be right in amongst. He's never won a West Coast Eagles fairest and best before, the John Worsfold medal. Liam Ryan's going to be a bit of a place, particularly at the back end. I think he'll rush home. And don't write off Andrew Gaff, who won the medal back in 2015. I think he's rated pretty highly. He ran further than anybody else at his footy club. And I know he's very highly regarded by the coaching staff. And, of course, Brad Shepherd, given the season that he had, I think will be the best of the defenders. But Nick Natanui to win the award tonight for me, for the West Coast Eagles' fairest and best. Car sales. A car sells every minute on car sales. We'll come back with our digs and our slaps and sledges out of the weekend sporting action next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
The Dig. Dial before you dig. The essential first step.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. Carl Langdon and Adam Papalia with you tonight. To dial before you dig, the first essential step. Adam Papalia, who would you like to have a dig at?
Well, we mentioned it briefly off the top of the show, but the fact that Jeremy Cameron is going to Geelong, or is expected to go to Geelong, that's my dig.
Why?
Well, how does the Coleman medalist from last year go and join up with a team that is in the grand final? He's one of the, if not the best forward in the competition.
Money, he's, baby. Yeah, it's called money.
I understand the money side of things, but he shouldn't be allowed to. That's right. My problem. The equalisation that the AFL does with the draft and everything else that they do to try and keep things balanced and even around the competition seems to be completely being undone by free agency at the moment. So the fact that Jeremy Cameron can go to a team potentially that's going to be the Premier, then gets topped up with another fantastic player, how does that give a chance to any of the other teams in the comp?
So you shouldn't be digging Jeremy Cameron. He's a restricted free agent and he's operating within the rules that
and
are available
so
to him. So therefore the mob that you should be having a dig at is the AFL.
Well, I am.
You are?
I am.
Right.
I am having a dig at the AFL because they need to come up with a better formula, because I think free agency is undoing all of the good work that they try to do with all of the other limitations they put in place in terms of giving, you know, teams like the Gold Coast Suns extra compensation picks and giving other teams, as they have done in the past, top-ups in terms of extra room in the salary cap, but particularly around the AFL draft and how they try and equalise the competition there. Something needs to be done to figure out how we can stop the best players going to the best clubs and the teams that are winning premierships.
Fair enough. All right. So don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. Let's get into slaps and sledges. This is where we slap someone on the back or we sledge them. Sullivan Logistics, 3 votes for storage and overnight freight. They never say no. I am going to have a sledge at Brisbane. God, I had to sit there and call that game, and it was over in the first quarter. If Geelong had been able to kick straight in the first quarter when they dominated, had the ball so much more inside 50, taken marks inside 50, they just couldn't convert. Poor kicking's poor football, but gee, I tell you what, I was disappointed with what Brisbane ditched up on the weekend. Any slaps and sledges from you?
Yeah, slaps and sledges. Clearly a slap to Lachie Neal for winning the Brownlow medal. He looked a nervous man, being such an overwhelming favourite, but great to see him take that out. He's worked extremely hard during his his time at Fremantle and then across to the Brisbane Lions. But the sledge was actually part of the coverage as well. The fact that he had to present himself with the Brownlow medal was just an absolute joke. The fact he had to pick it up off a mannequin and put it around his own neck. I know they normally get the previous Brownlow winner to do it, but surely in these extenuating circumstances, you could have got someone of note within the room to actually put the medal around his neck, because it was just a little bit awkward. Get Chris Fagan to do it, or Simon Black was there, who's a former Brownlow medal winner. Why not get one of them to do it instead?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think while we are on this little topic of slaps and sledges, we've got to give a slap to the teams in the Super Netball Grand Final. Just an awesome Grand Final to watch. In the end, the West Coast Fever going down to the Melbourne Vixens, and all credit should be given to the Melbourne Vixens for the way that they played the game. I thought that that was remarkably good. I think we too have to give a slap on the back to, whilst not winning, Tommy Shelby, who ran third at Wentworth Park in the final of the Midland Dollar Chase. It was certainly a great effort by the dog, but in the end was not good enough. And a sledge to the experts when it comes to golf. Look, I know that James Sutherland has just taken up a role at Golf Australia as their CEO, but to cancel the PGA Championship, the Australian Open and the Women's Australian Open, I reckon it's a little bit sort of bitter for me. Even, you know, I know that we can't get the international talent that we might want to attract into those golf events, but why can't we just make it an Australian event with our Australian players? You know, we've just had the WA Golf Open played here on the weekend. We've had the WA PGA Championship played the weekend before out there in Kalgoorlie. But there is no reason why we can't play the PGA Championship, the Australian Open and the Women's Open. They're all due to be played in February. We could play them somewhere in Australia at a very nice golf course, and that should proceed. It's not proceeding due to the global pandemic, which I find very frustrating, and I'm sure all of our very good golfers would feel much the same. For Sullivan Logistics, your trusted storage and overnight freight experts, Sullivan Logistics are in it for the long haul. We'll come back, speaking of golf, to Hayden Hopewell next. We'll ask him that question here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Flying under the radar, as of last week, radar detectors attract significant penalties. And I'm not sure that this bloke is now flying under the radar. He is a West Australian amateur golfer. His name is Hayden Hopewell, and he has won the WA Golf Open, which was played at the Royal Fremantle Golf Club from Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And he joins us here on the program. Welcome, Hayden. Congratulations.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Yeah, thanks a lot. It was a huge day, and thanks for having me.
Just tell us about yourself, mate, where you've grown up, where you've plied your craft, and when you got infatuated with the game of golf.
Yeah, so I started at a very young age down in Capel Golf Club, down in Bunbury. So we lived down there. I started at around three or four. So it was a very young age, and my dad, he was a keen golfer, so he sparked the light for me.
Fantastic. So growing up down that way, and you've obviously progressed on the Capel Golf Club. That's the one just off the highway, isn't it, that you drive past?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's a nice little course, really good greens. Not a lot of traffic, but just a nice course all around.
And you've obviously, you said your dad loved the game of golf. It sparked your interest at the age of three or four, and you've set yourself from there.
Yeah, he's off a scratch handicap, but we played a lot of golf after school, all through my junior days, nine holes every day religiously, and practiced a lot. And then after Capel, my golf started to get a little bit better around the age of sort of 12, 13. And at the time, I was playing AFL and little athletics, so that Those two sports come to a halt because my golf was getting a bit more serious. So we moved up to Perth, and we did the Golf WA Tour up here for a long time.
Part of the WA Men's State Team for the last 3 years, from 2018, Australian World Junior Team 2019 in Japan. Sadly, movement internationally has been drastically reduced. And, of course, you were the top qualifier for the Australian Open in 2019. You played in that Open. You finished 27th. What was the experience like?
Oh, that was surreal. Just walking into the Australian Golf Club for the first time to get into the practice round was just an amazing feeling, like just seeing the course in immaculate condition and just the vibes around the clubhouse, seeing a lot of top pros, Paul Casey, Garcia, Louis Oosthuizen. It was just a great feel initially when I walked in.
As of last week, radar detectors are illegal and penalties apply. It's the end of the road for radar detectors. And if your team's working around power, assess the risks and stick to the game plan. Always be 360 aware and visit westernpower.com.au for more information. We'll be joined by the bloke who is king of the mountain next. Garth Tander joins us here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Giant performance of the day yesterday for Giant Bicycles. We're Still Riding With You was at the Bathurst 1000. It was great to see him in the car, behind the wheel, working with his teammate Shane Van Gisbergen. And what was an historic day too, given that it was the last time that we'll see Holden competing in supercars. A bloke that's been with Holden for the whole of his racing career is Garth Tander, and I'm delighted to have him on the program with us tonight. Welcome, Garth. Thanks for your time, mate. Well done.
Cheers, Carl. Yeah, like you said, it was a very special day. And obviously, any time you stand on the podium at Bathurst is a good day. And to have a win was an amazing feeling. And like you said, a very special day, given it's Holden's last official involvement in motorsport in Australia at Bathurst, given that they're ceasing operations at the end of the year. So it was a lot of motivation to try and stand on the top step at Bathurst for the Holden fans. And, it was pretty surreal when we achieved that.
Mate, given that you're only driving part-time in endurance races and being a co-driver, how have you been keeping your eye in, so to speak?
Well, I haven't been able to at all. There's been basically no other racing in Australia other than supercars. And so, obviously, all the regular full-time guys are doing the championship. So that leaves all the co-drivers effectively sitting on the couch for the last 6 months while the country's been in lockdown. So, last time I drove a race car was Thursday afternoon at the Australian Grand Prix at the beginning of March. And the last time I drove the Red Bull Holden was in February at the pre-season test. So, yeah, there was no driving, but I was clearly in a very fortunate position that it was my 22nd Bathurst on the weekend, so I've done a few laps around the mountain. So I was pretty comfortable heading into the weekend that once I got back in the car and got back in the groove again, it'd be like riding a bike, it'd all come back to you, and I was fortunate that's how it played out.
Like a duck to water, eh? So you didn't play the online games like a few of the others did, Scotty McLaughlin and so on?
I did a little bit of that, particularly in the early part of lockdown and when the majority of the country was shut down. But to be honest, mate, I'm obviously too old for that stuff now because it just doesn't interest me at all. I did it for a bit, but yeah, I wasn't really all that motivated to keep doing it and practice the amount that you need to practice. And I sort of started finding out that I was driving a simulator like the real race car, and the trick to driving a simulator is that you have to drive it a particular way, and I didn't want to get caught up driving, like learning to drive the simulator way and feeling too far away from my real world racing experience. So, yeah, I packed that in after a month or so.
Well, you made the right decision because the real world driving was very, very good. Back on the mountain, of course, the fourth time that you've conquered the mountain. How does this one rank compared to the others? It's been a journey across 20 years, obviously 2000, 2009, and then 2011 as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's a bit like trying to pick your favourite child, isn't it? I mean, it's a hard question to answer because they're all special and they're all special for very different reasons. So this one has, this one's going to take a little while to sink in given, 2020 being such an unusual year with what has been going on around the place. And, Holden's, like we talked about, Holden's last involvement. So to win the races in the factory Holden car, driving with winning at 20 years after my first one. I even forgot that it was 20 years after my first victory until someone reminded me in the week leading up to the race. So a lot of storylines attached to this race, a lot of emotion involved. So I really enjoyed this one. I was just sort of reflecting on the race today. That race was probably the most seamless race from an execution point of view that I've been involved in from a team perspective. Just everything worked. You write a plan. It's a bit like, it doesn't matter if it's football or business or car racing. You always write a plan and you have to sort of react when things don't quite go to that plan. And geez, we didn't have to react much. The plan was pretty flawless, and we managed to execute it pretty much 100%.
Garth Tander there for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you in the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento, which has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. We'll come back with Kia's Top 7 next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and speaking of the Kia Sorento, which has landed, Kia's top seven out of the weekend. At number seven, the performance of Very Elegant, ridden by Mark Zara, winning the Caulfield Cup. Be interesting to see whether she goes on during the spring campaign. At number six, WA amateur Hayden Hopewell for winning the WA Golf Open by a stroke. The amateurs were certainly very impressive in that tournament played down there at Royal Fremantle. At number five, Dustin Martin. He was absolutely awesome in Richmond's dramatic win over Port Adelaide to advance to the 2020 Grand Final there on Friday night, booting a couple of very, very important goals. At number four, a match that I loved watching yesterday afternoon. Sadly, it wasn't our West Coast Fever victorious, but you have to admire the Melbourne Vixens winning what was a super netball grand final to behold by a couple of shots in the end. It was a really good morning of entertainment. At number three, Kerrin McAvoy riding Classique Legend to victory in the richest race in Australia, the Everest at Randwick. It was a commanding victory. Unbelievable, actually. So Classic Legend really making a statement in that race. At number two, some more entertainment yesterday afternoon. A great race. Shane Van Gisbergen and Garth Tander winning the Bathurst 1000, which is a real test of endurance. Well done to Shane and Garth Tander, who, of course, is a WA boy. And at number one, it has to be Lachie Neal. Acknowledgement for a sensational season in the AFL. He had it locked up a long way from home, winning the Brownlow medal as expected. So well done to Lachie Neal for the all-new game-changing Kia Sorento, which has landed. You can find out more at kia.com.au. And for the player of the round for expert car service you can rely on, you visit repcoservice.com. It's Mitch Duncan for me. He always goes under the radar. I think it's easy to pick out goal scorers like Ablett and Rowan and, of course, Hawkins. But, mate, he was integral to getting the job done for the Cats. 9 score involvements from his 22 disposals whilst not getting on the scoreboard himself. He was so instrumental in setting them up for his teammates. So well done to Mitch Duncan, another WA boy, and good luck in the AFL Grand Final on Saturday. For expert car servicing you can rely on, you visit Repco Service or you go to your local authorised Repco Service Centre. Apply online to certify that your products are Australian. AustralianMade.com.au/apply. We'll finish with the Daily Roundup next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Great to have you company here on Sports Day. We finish off with the Daily Roundup, a sports update, no doubts, with Secura Herbicide, the proven performer, Adam Papalia.
The Perth Glory making a couple of signings today, announcing that, which is good to see because they've had a lot of players going in the other direction out of the club over the last couple of weeks. And some familiar faces back as well. Andy Keogh for his third stint, I think it is, at the Perth Glory is back in there, so he'll bolster their attacking line. And Brandon Wilson, too, had a bit of off-field stuff last season, went to Wellington, finished the season there, and he's back. He's still a young player, and I think he's got a bright future in front of him. So a couple of good acquisitions for the Glory today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brandon Wilson, 23 years of age, 55 games for the Glory, and a Perth local too, perhaps. So nice to have him back in the fold. In the cricket at the Sheffield Shield, it was a pretty good start by WA. We had him 3 for 70-odd, but I'll tell you what, New South Wales certainly consolidated from that point. 3 for 262 at stumps against Western Australia. Moises on the Reeks, 134. Not out. Solway is 68 not out, so it's going to be vital that they get an early breakthrough on day two tomorrow. And South Australia crumbled today in the other Sheffield Shield match. They were all out for 195, but in response, Tasmania doing it tough at 2 for 14. So obviously that deck isn't playing as well as the one being contested between New South Wales and Western Australia. And the AFL Grand Final umpires will be announced tomorrow. So hopefully we will have one of them on our program for you. You may doubt your team's chances, but there's no doubt with Secura Herbicide. You can search for it online. We'll be back with more soon.